The Attorney General wishes to announce that the following program has been rated
liberal rubbish
by the Department of Justice.
All right, guard, begin the unnecessarily slow-moving dipping mechanism.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Isn't he simply adorable, Pop?
I told you never trust a monkey!
Listen, you smell something.
Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
For God's sake, strap yourselves down!
Welcome to another episode of the Cover Joe Radio Show. I am your humble host, Joe Vecchio, and seeing as how this is a holiday week, I'm only doing the one show this week instead of my usual two. Actually, I'd like to do more than two shows a week, but, you know, between looking for work and blogging and all the other things that are going on, it's really hard to find the time. Now, of course, the holiday coming up is Thanksgiving, which is tomorrow as I'm recording this, and I was reminded by someone who emailed me of a quote from Bill Maher, who said, "It's just like America to make a holiday out of the only good experience that we ever had with the Indians. It's like a date rapist saying, let's concentrate on the dinner and a movie." You know, and it is hard for me to think sometimes about the fact that most of us here are living on land that has been stolen from people who lived here long before we arrived. And all I can say is that I hope that one day we can come to terms with the things we've done in the past and use it as a means to make a better world for all of us in the future. Now, I realize that things aren't going all that well in the country today. I mean, you know, thousands of our sons and daughters are facing danger in Iraq and Afghanistan. There's many people like myself who are out of work or only barely getting by because of the policies of this administration. And we do face as uncertain a future as we have ever faced in this country. I mean, let's face it. I mean, it doesn't seem to be a whole lot to be thankful for these days. And you know what makes it even sadder is that compared to most of the rest of the world, we still do have it pretty good. I mean, no matter what the current administration does, it'll be a long time before the entire infrastructure we've worked so hard to build over the last 200 years falls apart. And hopefully we'll have thrown the bums out long before it gets to that point, and we'll be able to continue on as we move towards a better and more peaceful future. But despite all of the problems that we've got in the world, I just want to say that there are still a few things that we should be thankful for and that we can all be thankful for, including myself. I'm personally am thankful that we still have people in the world who are willing to help each other out and who are willing to work to sacrifice for a better future. I see that in the Dean campaign every day, and it's something I point out about the campaign. It's not about Howard Dean. It's about the people running it. It's us. We are the campaign, and that helps me feel good, and that helps me feel thankful. I'm thankful for the people of the world who wept with us on 9/11, but who oppose what our government is doing in retaliation. I mean, they understand better than we do that what our government does doesn't always reflect what most Americans feel. And finally, on a personal note, let me see how thankful I am to have such a wonderful, loving wife. I mean, no amount of poverty or hardship is going to diminish the love that we have for each other, and that makes us the richest people in the world. And we're going to play a little music before I can continue, and we'll be right back.
Telling you, girl, something unknown to me makes you what you are, and what you are is all that I want for me, and it's good. Woman,
girl,
for making the music softer,
girl,
for making a better world for me.
Jeff Lynne and the Electric Light Orchestra with Julia from the album A New World Record. That was one of three songs that I played for my wife. Before that, we had John Lennon with Woman, one of the most beautiful love songs ever written. And before that, we started out with Davy Jones from the Brady Bunch movie, and that was Girl. Welcome back to the Cup of Joe Radio Show. I am your host, Joe Vecchio, the voice of the working man. Now, for those of you who aren't aware of it, and no doubt many of you are not, because it hasn't been covered by any major news outlet that I'm aware of, there is a major strike going on in Southern California right now involving supermarket workers. Now, the supermarket chains involved are Vons, V-O-N-S, Albertsons, and Ralph's. We used to have Albertsons in Florida. I don't think they have them there anymore. Now, Ken Bartlett of the Shock and Awe website, who is a fellow member of the League of Liberals Blogging Alliance, of which I am a member, made a great summary of what the strike is all about and how important this is for all of us. Now, in short, the company offered the union workers a new contract. And there are three big things that the new contract proposed by the supermarket offered. First of all, they wanted to increase the workers' weekly copay on health insurance by $5 or $15 if you had a family. Second, they wanted to cut the actual health benefits by around 50% so that employees have to pay for more of their health care expenses. In other words, they're going to be paying more in copay to get less. And then they wanted to start paying new hires less money than under the existing contract with lesser benefits, which in turn would create a two-tiered system. The workers on the top tier with good benefits would eventually be phased out, and then only the low-paid bad benefits workers will be left. Now, the supposed reason for this is because the supermarkets feel that they have to compete with Walmart, which has low pay and bad benefits, and Walmart is planning on opening a lot of its superstores in California. Now, the union voted to strike against Vons, and this you have to understand that this deal was only given to the employees at Vons, and so the workers only at Vons, not at the other chains, retaliated by striking. In retaliation for that, the company locked workers out of Albertsons and Ralph's as well. So the Albertsons and Ralph workers want to go back to work, but they can't because the supermarkets are locking them out. Now, this is important because someone has to draw a line and say, hey, no more destruction of health care benefits. This is probably the single most important issue coming up for workers. As health care benefits decrease for the grocery store workers, the same tactics can be used against other unions. If they lose benefits, they drop out into the public health care system, which is already overloaded and underfunded, and it'll cost taxpayers even more, especially if they're forced to pay medical expenses with take-home pay and then go on food stamps as the working poor. It's also very important to note that the Grocery Workers Union has traded raises in exchange for increased benefits. The benefits they're fighting for are not entitlements. They are terms of employment and basically the only reason to work for a supermarket. The actual pay sucks. Most of them average around $12 an hour or so, which is not starting workers, mind you. This is overall workers, regardless of experience. And they get around 30 to 32 hours a week, and it's not full-time work. But they keep at it because of the benefits. Now these benefits are being cut, and the unions need our support to keep going. The grocery store workers are on the front line of the class warfare right here. If they lose, it'll be just the beginning of the end, and that's why the Teamsters have joined in support of the striking workers. Of course, the real solution is for universal health care like every other civilized country on Earth, but until that happens, our lowest paid workers are at serious risk. Now, actually, before she wrote all this, we had a segment on the League of Liberals mailing list about, you know, who gets hate mail and stuff like that. And Ken got a hate mail from someone, which had to do with the strike. And this is what the person who wrote the email said. My wife just called me and had been harassed by picketers outside in Albertsons while pushing our 10-month-old in a cart. Now, one of the picketers yelled out, shame on you. Oh, yeah, shame on us for getting food for our family. Like we should do all, listen, we all starve to death or wait in 1 hour lines because this obese, out of work, and overpaid, illiterate cow chooses for herself not to work. I tell you what, I'm tempted to go down there right now with a lot more than a baseball bat. If you choose to strike because you want $20 an hour for scanning gum, you go ahead, carry a sign, walk in a circle, blame the world. But if you try to intimidate a young woman with a little baby, don't be surprised when you get a baseball bat in the side of your head. Now, this is a sort of calmed reason discussion one normally associates with members of the right wing. Now, of course, this triggered an explosion among League members about how to react to such a letter. I mean, it goes without saying that the guy doesn't have a clue to begin with. The striking worker wasn't striking. They were being locked out. They wanted to work. Albertsons was locking them out. But, of course, he wouldn't see that distinction because, you know, he's an idiot. It was also obvious that he took a rather, shall we say, direct approach towards the striking worker. Now, some of the members are pretty militant. Members of the League are pretty militant when it comes to workers' issues, and others prefer to rely purely on peaceful solutions when handling people like that. Me, hey, I'm just a lower middle class kind of guy, you know. I mean, my family's never had a lot of money, and I personally have never made more than $23,500 a year. I am, in short, very much affected by the anti-worker policies of the Republican Party in general and the current administration in particular. And I am the kind of guy who believes, when push comes to shove, that there is a time and a place for the occasional skull bashing. But in my opinion, it hasn't reached that point yet. Peaceful political solutions are still available to us, and we should make use of them. Remember, conditions for working people a century ago were far worse than they are now, and they faced even greater opposition than we face today. But they still managed to win the rights that we now take for granted, and they did so by a combination of methods, both peaceful and violent. Now, I believe in fighting, and I don't necessarily even believe in fighting fair, because certainly that the people who are fighting against us aren't going to be fighting fair. But at this stage of the game, there's no need for getting out the baseball bats. The hardcore right began by using legitimate means to take over the Republican Party. We can do the same with the Democratic Party, and we can win back all we've lost. But we have to know when and how to fight, and we have to learn to be patient, just as they had to be patient. They didn't build their organizations overnight. Now, for the record, I do believe that we're going to win back everything we've lost and more, because I believe we're going to put together a system that'll make it even harder for the anti-worker right wing to build itself up again next time. And mark my words, there will be a next time. But in the meantime, we're going to have to do what it takes to win. And if that means going out into the streets, then that's what we'll do. We'll be back.
Everybody was kung fu fighting. Those kids were fast as lightning. In fact, it was a little bit frightening, but they fought with
something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
Time to go to our live remote man on the scene at the Pinedale Shopping Mall for the big WKRP turkey giveaway. So take it away, Les Nessman.
This is Les Nessman, your man on the scene here at the Pinedale Shopping Center, where the excitement is mounting. We're here to witness the big WKRP turkey Thanksgiving giveaway.
Hey, you got permission to be out here?
What?
You're blocking my store here, buddy.
Don't you know who I am?
Huh?
I'm Les Nessman. I won the Buckeye News Hawk Award last year.
Good for you, Buckeye. Now get out of my doorway.
I'm sorry.
Creep. So far, so good, huh?
I'm here with hundreds of people who have gathered to witness what has been described as perhaps the greatest turkey event in Thanksgiving Day history. All we know for sure is that in a very few moments, there are going to be a lot of happy people out here. Now, the crowd is... curious, but well-behaved. And I think I hear something now. The crowd is moving out into the parking area. And, oh yes, I can see it now. It's a helicopter. And it's coming this way.
A helicopter.
It's flying something behind it. I can't quite make it out. It's a large banner, and it says, Happy Thanksgiving. From W... Gentlemen, what a sight. The copter seems to be circling the parking area now. I guess it's looking for a place to land. No, something just came out of the back of the helicopter. It's a dark object. Perhaps a skydiver plummeting to the earth from only 2,000 feet in the air. The third. There's no parachutes yet.
I can't tell just yet what they are, but...
Oh, my God, they're talking! Oh, Johnny, can you get this? Oh, they're crashing to the earth right in front of our eyes! They just went through the windshield of a parked car! This is terrible. The
car is running around pushing each other? Oh, my goodness! Oh, the humanity! People are running about. The turkeys are hitting the ground like sacks of wet cement. I don't know how much longer the crowd is running for their lives. I think I'm going to step inside. I can't stay out here and watch this anymore. No, I can't go in there.
Children are searching for their mothers, and, not since the Hindenburg tragedy has there been anything like this. I don't know how much longer I can hold my position here, Johnny. The crowd...
Lass, are you there? Lass isn't there. Thanks for that on-the-spot report, Lass. Just tuned in, the Pinedale Shopping Mall has just been bombed with live turkey. Film at 11.
And we'll be bringing you updates on that story as it develops. That was Howard Hessman as Dr. Johnny Fever and Richard Sanders as reporter Les Nessman from the TV show WKRP in Cincinnati. That was one of the funniest moments in TV history. You know, a lot of people don't know that WKRP was based on an actual radio station here in Atlanta. It still exists here in Atlanta. They are now 790 The Zone. What are the call letters? I forget the call letters. But they used to be, back in the 70s, the big rock station when rock was king on AM before FM radio took over. And from what I understand, there actually was some sort of turkey stunt done by the promoter of the radio station who didn't throw turkeys from a helicopter, but apparently he just gave out live turkeys from a truck or something like that, and some of them went wild. But that's a little bit of trivia that you may not be aware of, that it was based on Atlanta. By the way, for those of you who are fans of WKRP, if you listen to that closing theme and you want to try to figure out what the words are, there are no words. That closing theme was actually recorded here in Atlanta, in a studio here in Atlanta, and it was just gibberish. The guy just gave gibberish. Now, Les, for those of you who have never seen WKRP, he's kind of a nebbish guy who is really pretty right-wing. I mean, at least in the sense that he was very paranoid, or a big paranoid about communists. I remember one show there was a tornado going to hit Cincinnati, and he was asked to read emergency procedures for tornadoes over the radio, but all he had was something that he was going to read in case Cincinnati was going to be run over by communists. So he read it and just replaced communist with tornado. And it was probably the first time anyone ever heard the term godless tornado on television. But, you know, the problem is that in the real world, the right-wingers, and not even nice right-wingers like Les, are the ones running the news media. I mean, never mind the fact that the so-called mainstream press is more interested in hanging out at airports waiting for Michael Jackson than they are in covering hundreds of thousands of protesters in London. I mean, Nightline did that recently. They were going to have a big report on that, but then the whole Michael Jackson story broke, and like a shot, that's what they went for, you know? And mostly what you see on TV news, which is where most people get their news, is either bland corporate spin or hardcore right-wing propaganda. And a lot of it is geared against Democrats and against lefties. I mean, let me give you it's a big double standard, and let me give you an example. This is from the Reuters News Service, and it was printed in the Houston Chronicle, and not even page one. It was kind of buried in the Houston Chronicle. There's a story about Neil Bush, who is George W. Bush's younger brother, and it was about lucrative business deals that he had made and how he admitted to engaging in sex romps with women in Asia in a deposition taken in March as part of his divorce from his now ex-wife, Sharon Bush. Now, the reason why these weren't released until today or recently is because the the stuff came officially released today. So, but, you know, if it had come out in March, you know, nobody would have been talking about it anyway. Now, one of the issues in the case was the $2 million that Neil earned from a contract with Grace Semiconductor Manufacturing Corp., which is a firm backed by Zhang Manjiang, who was the son of former Chinese President Jiang Zemin. And I hope I'm pronouncing that right, and I'm probably not. Now, in other words, here is Neo, who was accepting money and working directly for communists. Communists! Never mind the fact that Neo, by his own sworn admission, knows nothing about semiconductors, and that he was hired because he knew a lot about business and had been working in Asia for years. He was working for communists! They made a huge deal out of this supposed Al Gore getting money from Chinese communists in the 2000 thing, and you couldn't help but hear it over the news, and it was all over the place. But here we have a man who's directly taking money from communists, and he's a brother of George W. Bush, and nobody says a friggin' word. Nobody says a word about it. Now, Bush also said, and I'll get this, that he was co-chairman of the Crest Investment Corporation, but he worked only an average of 3 to 4 hours a week. And for this, he received $15,000 every 3 months. That's $5,000 a month for roughly 15 hours of work, or about $333 an hour. Don't you wish you can get a deal like that? What did he do for this? According to him, miscellaneous consulting services, or in this case, answering phone calls when Jamal Daniel, who is the other co-chairman, called and asked for advice. Again, where can I get a job like this? Oh, I forgot, my last name isn't Bush. But wait, it gets better. Remember, this is all coming out of the divorce trial. Why was Sharon asking for a divorce? Because Neil had an affair. In fact, he had several affairs. In his deposition at the trial, Neil admitted that he had previously had sex with several other women while he was on trips to Thailand and Hong Kong. The women, according to him, simply knocked on the door of his hotel room, entered, and had sex with him. He said he didn't know they were prostitutes because they never asked him for money and he didn't pay them. Not to, of course, you know, you can't assume that somebody else paid for them for him. No, that never happens, right? Now, Marshall Davis Brown, who was Sharon Bush's lawyer, asked Neil, Mr. Bush, you have to admit it's a pretty remarkable thing for a man to just go to a hotel room door and open it and have a woman standing there and have sex with her. It was very unusual, Bush said. Yeah, of course. Maybe for those of us not named Bush, anyway. Oh, but I'm not finished yet. According to Sharon Bush, Neil fathered a child out of wedlock 2 years ago with Maria Andrews, who was married to someone else at the time. Maria is now divorced, is Neil's current girlfriend, or whatever. Maria's former husband is suing Sharon because of the claim, and there will be a paternity suit coming. You know, if we didn't know any better, you'd think this was an episode of Jerry Springer. But that's not what I wanted to talk about. I mean, we know the Bushes are mansion trash. I mean, that's a given. But imagine, if you will, if this had happened to Roger Clinton, who was Bill Clinton's brother. It'd be all over every network, and it'd be yammered about on every radio talk show coast to coast for months, yet not a single word about this on CNN or any of the so-called mainstream news outlets. Nada. Zilch. This has to stop. You know, when the media acts like a scandalmonger, that's one thing. I mean, you almost kind of expect them to do that a little because it sells papers or it's good for ratings. But when it's scandalmongering against one political party and only printing good things about the other or burying bad things about the other, I think the term is propaganda. And that's what we have today. We'll be back. Huffy Amiyumi with the Teen Titans theme, the new cartoon from Cartoon Network. Before that, we had the theme from SWAT and the theme from Miami Vice, which is my tribute to cop shows of the 70s and 80s. That segment was in honor of the Bush family, who could use a little police scrutiny as far as I'm concerned, not to mention a visit from a few superheroes. And now, once again, from the pages of Democratic Underground, here is the Top 10 Conservative Idiots of the Week. Now, for a few blissful days last week, America was free of George W. Bush, and the good people of the United Kingdom had to put up with him instead. Interestingly, Bush avoided the democratically elected people's representatives in Parliament. He was too scared that the nasty British MPs might boo him, and instead headed towards an area that he's much more comfortable with, royalty. Yes, when it comes to gadding about with the well-to-do inbreds who were supposedly appointed by God, Bush fits right in. Yet even within the confines of the royal circle, our great leader was still shitting his pants about security, and for all the precautions that were taken, they might as well just have encased him in concrete and wheeled him around on a cart. By hanging out with the royals, Bush at least managed to mostly avoid the enormous protests that filled the streets of London, although one or two reporters managed to slip in a decent question every now and then, such as, "What is your conclusion as to why apparently so many free citizens fear you and even hate you?" Bush's answer, "I don't know that they do," which pretty much sums up his complete lack of understanding of the world around him. Now, Laura Bush was also on board the good ship Clueless, telling reporters, "We haven't seen that many protests, but we have seen many American flags and people welcoming us." Gee, I guess she didn't turn on the TV or even look out the window at any point during her trip. So I'm sure that our great leader will return with wonderful stories of how much the British people loved him and welcomed him. Just don't pay any attention to the hundreds of thousands of protesters who toppled a giant effigy of him in Trafalgar Square. And he's back. After a quick jaunt through Millionaire's Rehab, Rush Limbaugh returned to the airwaves last week, as pig-headed as ever and now apparently with added hypocrisy. But don't call Limbaugh a hypocrite, because he's got the world's best explanation for his behavior. "There are people out there who say I'm a hypocrite," he said in a show last week, because he took drugs while telling people to lead a moral life. But wait for it. There is no hypocrisy. Just because I was doing something that appeared to be contradictory, my behavior doesn't change right and wrong. So you told people that drug addicts were scum who should be locked up, while you were shoveling mountains of illegally procured prescription painkillers down your fat throat and, not going to jail, but you're not a hypocrite because you were doing something which appeared to be contradictory, but, oh, never mind. Now, how is this not hypocritical again? Fortunately, Rush is not out of the woods yet. It turns out he is being investigated for laundering money to pay for his drug addiction, which is a federal crime. Mind you, he's got a good defense for this one, too. "I was not laundering money. I was withdrawing money, for crying out loud." Yes, and telling people that drug addicts should go straight to prison while conveniently avoiding prison yourself doesn't make you a hypocrite either. Hoo boy. Let's see. Terrorist bombings in Turkey. More American soldiers dead in Iraq. At least 100,000 people march against George W. Bush in London. Free trade protesters clash with the police in Miami. Not that you'd know much about any of this stuff if you were watching CNN, MSNBC, or Fox News last week, because the big three cable networks, they followed one story, Michael Jackson, all the time. As soon as the news broke that Michael Jackson's Neverland Ranch had been raided and that a warrant was out for his arrest on child abuse charges, the cable news channels went into overdrive. Terrorist bombings? Eh. Massive protests? Whatever. Clearly, the cable news networks felt that the most important place to point their cameras last week was a local airport runway where Jackson was scheduled to arrive, and an empty police station parking lot where he was scheduled to do the perp walk. So dedicated were they to their precious airport and parking lot that they almost seemed irritated when it was time to break for a 10-second newsflash about the not-so-important news item of the day. Another soldier dies in Iraq. Al-Qaeda may be to blame. We now return you to the parking lot. Oh, CNN even ran a segment with a psychologist for worried parents who don't know how to tell their kids about Michael Jackson. Now picture this scene. "Mom. Billy, I know this might come as a bit of a shock to you, but I think you should know that Michael Jackson may be a child molester." "Michael who, Mom?" "Michael Jackson, the king of pop. Used to advertise Pepsi. Sang at the Super Bowl." dangled his baby over a balcony. Whatever, Mom. I'm in the middle of a game of Grand Theft Auto. What an enormous waste of everybody's time. So we only have to put up with it for the next, year or so. Oh, God. Well, it's true after all. Osama bin Laden and Saddam Hussein really were in bed with another, so therefore the invasion of Iraq was completely justified. That's what you would have heard if you had listened to, watched, or read the news from any of the right-wing media outlets last week. Why? Well, because the Weekly Standard recently published an article claiming that al-Qaeda and Iraq had an operational relationship from the early 1990s to 2003 that involved training and explosives and weapons of mass destruction, logistical support for terrorist attacks, al-Qaeda training camps and safe haven in Iraq, and Iraqi financial support for al-Qaeda. Whew, hot stuff. Shame it's all complete crap. The Standard based its article on a memo which came straight from the desk of one of Bush's propaganda ministers, Douglas Faith, the head of the Pentagon's Office for Special Plans. The Standard's article was then immediately picked up by several Rupert Murdoch-owned outlets such as the New York Post and Fox News. But it wasn't long before the Pentagon had to distribute a press release stating that the news reports that the Defense Department recently confirmed new information News reports that the Defense Department recently confirmed new information with respect to contacts between al-Qaeda and Iraq are inaccurate. Oh, so did this stop the right-wing media in its tracks? Hardly. The Washington Times, New York Post, and the always fair and balanced Fox News continued to rant about the memo all week, despite its official debunking. Still, since most Fox News viewers have probably already been suckered into believing that Osama bin Laden and Saddam Hussein are gay lovers, it's no big deal, I guess. Now, why am I not surprised that Columbus's recently arrested naked photographer has turned out to be a Republican? And not just any Republican, mind you, but a deputy legal counsel for the House Republican Caucus in Ohio. Steve Linnan, a member of the staff for House Speaker Larry Householder from Glenford, was arraigned last week on one count of gross sexual imposition and one count of kidnapping. It is suspected that Lennon is the infamous naked photographer who has ambushed women on 39 occasions and photographed their shocked expressions as he waggled his naughty bits. Yeah, the party of decency, morality, and family values strikes again. I mean, just when you think they can't get any worse, one of them shows up flopping his cock around in public. What next? Well, it looks like Richard Perle was off his meds again last week because the Pentagon's defense policy board member strayed from the party line during a speech last week when he stated that international law would have required us to leave Saddam Hussein alone. So what you're basically admitting is that the invasion of Iraq was completely illegal? How bizarre. It's probably also worth noting that according to a recent post in the Washington Post, Richard Perle heads a venture capital company called Hollinger Digital, which invested $2.5 million in a company called Trireme Partners. Now, Trireme Partners plans to cash in big time on military and homeland security contracts, which shouldn't be so tough since their managing partner is, you guessed it, Richard Perle. How convenient. But let's face it, this is the kind of corrupt cronyism. It's exactly what the Bush administration stands for. I mean, who the hell cares about the law when there's a fat profit to be made? By the way, the name Trireme comes from an ancient Greek ship. The Trireme was primarily responsible for defeating the Persians at the famous Battle of Salamis. Does Richard Perle know that? Does Richard care? I guess not. By the way, speaking of bribery and corruption, Clear Channel, the media empire which owns a majority of the country's radio stations and proudly calls itself the home of drug-addled hypocrite Rush Limbaugh, found itself in a spot of bother last week. It seems that the company has been giving expensive gifts to employees who earn $100,000 a year or more if they agree to contribute to Clear Channel's right-wing political action fund. Is this illegal? Well, Clear Channel seems to think that the Gifts for Donations program complies with the rule that says a company can spend up to one-third of what it collects for employee incentives, although the Center for Responsive Politics calls it kind of a gray area. Whichever way you look at it, when one of the country's most powerful media organizations is literally bribing employees for donations to its right-wing PAC, you know that the idea of fair and balanced reporting has gone completely out the window. So can we finally bury the liberal media myth yet? Its rotting carcass is starting to stink the place up. Now, what would you look at that? At the time of this writing, Zell Miller's new cry fest of a book, A National Party No More, is sitting at number 4 in the New York Times bestseller list. Congratulations, Zell, you traitorous sellout. But hang on a minute, what's this? Do my eyes deceive me, or is that a little plus next to your listing? Surely not, because that would mean that your book has only gotten on the list because it's been bulk ordered. You know, like all of Ann Coulter's books. Well, gee, congratulations, I guess. It seems the same rich conservatives who want to cheat Coulter's books to the top of the list are giving you a shot. Well done, Zell. So, you know how Republicans are always going on about pulling oneself up by the bootstraps and how evil it is to give government handouts to those who won't pull their weight? Funny how so many of them turn out to be welfare queens themselves. Take Thomas Dorr, for example, who was rejected by Senate Democrats as Bush's agriculture undersecretary last week. Turns out that back in 1999, Dorr made a speech at Iowa State University where he claimed that the most successful rural areas in Iowa were not particularly diverse in their ethnic and religious backgrounds, according to the Omaha World Herald. But it's not particularly unusual for Republicans to go on about how successful whites are compared to those lazily, shiftless minorities. What's more unusual, however, is to find them sucking on government teat while they're doing it. Apparently, in 1996, Dorr had to repay $17,000 to the Agricultural Department. Yep, the same Agricultural Department which Bush wanted to appoint, because the two separate investigations revealed that he had misrepresented the nature of the farm's operation in papers filed the three previous years. Dorr was cleared of any criminal charges, but apparently told the Senate committee 2 years ago that his family had done nothing out of the ordinary in structuring the farm to get the most government money possible. Damn those lazily, shiftless, welfare-grabbing, potential agricultural secretaries. And finally, you've got to feel sorry for the Claremont Institute for the Study of Statesmanship and Political Philosophy. See, despite Rush Limbaugh's recent troubles with drug addiction, procuring prescription narcotics illegally, and being invested for money laundering, the Claremont Institute was all set to give him their statesmanship award last week. Unfortunately, Rush has had to pull out, apparently because I must limit my travel time for the remainder of this year. What's up with that, Rush? Cops don't want you going too far out of their sight, eh? But not to worry. The Claremont Institute brainstormed and came up with a splendid solution. What do you do if you can't get a hypocritical drug addict blowhard to top off your fancy dinner? Get the next best thing, of course, a hypocritical gambling addict blowhard. Yes, the famous moralist and Vegas casino troll Bill Bennett replaced Rush Limbaugh at the Claremont Institute's dinner last week, so rest assured that the attendees still received a solid helping of mind-blowing bullshit to go with their steak and three vegetables. And that is the top 10 conservatives for this week. I want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving, and I hope you're all doing very well this week. I will be back probably on Sunday, this coming Sunday, with a new show. Until then, have a good day, and it's bye from me, Joe Vecchio, at the Cup of Joe Radio Show.
I was walking down the street on a sunny day. Hubba, 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 hubba. A feeling in my bones says I have my way. Hubba, 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 hubba. Oh, I'm a happy boy.
Happy boy.
I'm a happy boy.
Happy boy.
Oh, ain't it good when things are going your way? Hey, hey. Yeah, my little dog Spot got hit by a car. Hubba, 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 hubba. Put his guts in a box and put him in a drawer. Hubba, 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 hubba. Oh, I'm a happy boy.
Happy boy.
Oh, I'm a happy boy.
Happy boy.
Oh, ain't it good when things are going your way? Hey, hey. Forgot all about it for a month and a half. Hubba, 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 hubba. I looked in the drawer and started to laugh. Hubba, 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 hubba. Cause I'm a happy boy.
Happy boy.
Well, I'm a happy boy.
Happy boy.
Oh, ain't it good when things are going your way? Hey, hey.